The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to NFL Live, presented by Truist. We're so glad that you're with us. This is going to be a little bit of a different way to watch the night of Monday Night Football.
I put on the show under the lights. Love it when they say my name on the mic.
Four quarters are not enough to decide it.
Which of these teams, after what you've watched tonight, do you trust the most?
Carr throwing off the fingertips and intercepted.
What is this game?
Trying
to get out, can't do it. He fumbled.
Oh. It was one of those simulated looks.
All alone is Zay Jones.
What a way to end it.
Real talk, the Baltimore Ravens are sick right now.
You know, I kind of feel like we never left. We've been here for a while. We did the MegaCast last night for Monday Night Football. Right, we slept under the desk. By the way, this is what you can expect on Tuesdays, everybody. You got Marcus Spears, Mina Kimes, Dan Orlovsky, Ryan Clark.
What's up?
Man, y'all bored of health clean today, boy.
Let's go. A lot more on last night's wildness is moments away, as well as high praise for the Eagles, plus who's really atop the best division in football, a.k.a. the NFC West. Let's get right back to last night. What a win for the Raiders.
I hope this is a sign of things to come for us, that we just, who cares how we do it? Let's just win, right? All I keep saying is I just want to win. So who cares if it's ugly or pretty? I do not care. We won the game. I'm celebrating that. That's the only thing that matters.
Felt like I died and woke up and died again. And I was like a cat. I had multiple lives tonight. I don't like playing like that. It was tough. But, again, we did a lot of really good things to win that football game tonight.
Yeah, I mean, John Gruden isn't alone. The Raiders burned a few of our extra nine lives on Monday night. Vegas tied the game three separate times in the fourth quarter last night before eventually winning in overtime. They're just the third team to do so in NFL history, the first to pull away with a win. The other two occurrences were part of the Cowboys-Eagles rivalry, interestingly enough. Mina and Marcus, what about the Raiders' performance last night stood out to you?
I'm going to let my D-lineman that heart start off first. Go ahead, MK.
I mean, the story of the game is the defense, and anyone who tells you otherwise is lying. By the way, love Ryan Clark in here, just increasing the defensive numbers, outnumbering the quarterback.
Yeah,
Max Crosby, he spells his name with two X's. He's got to add another X because he was not safe for work last night. Let's watch it. Look at this man's speed coming off the edge there. With Carl Nassib, appointment with the quarterback. I mean, he was outrageous. There's Nassib there with the game-changing.
We call this must-see TV on the D-line, MK. And you hear me all the time. It's like a basketball team, and that's how they look. If you go wrangle Lamar Jackson, you better be playing together up front.
And that's so important because he wasn't just rushing the passer. He was setting the edge against the run.
Absolutely.
Which shocked me. This is a Raiders defense we're talking about. Pass rush and Raiders are not words we have been putting together for like 4 years.
4 years. I feel like I got like 1,000 words to say in apologies because it's the first time the Raiders look like they knew you could play defense in the NFL, especially up front. Listen, these tackles from the Baltimore Ravens, burn the film. Get rid of it. Move on to next week. Las Vegas Raiders, shout out to y'all front, man. Y'all wrecked that game.
So that's a big part of the story, right? But then there's Lamar Jackson side of things and the Ravens offense. Jackson had his moments of taking off, making something out of nothing, right? 235 yards passing with a touchdown, 86 rushing yards on 12 carries, but maybe tried to be Superman at times without the three running backs he thought he'd have, you know, mainly J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. Dan, what about Lamar's performance concerns you when you think back on it, and not only just watched it live last night, but have watched back the film?
Yeah, he was great as a playmaker, alarming as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, he saw so much of that simple cover three. And when you see simple coverages, you make simple throws. Cover three, simple coverages make simple throws. And the mindset for Lamar should have been, I got to outgrind you rather than trying to outshine you. You know, he's such this electric athlete, and he wants to make these plays because he can. And when the defense is going, nope, we're not going to let you. We just want you to throw these five-yard throws, 5-yard throws. And we saw this as a theme for some young quarterbacks this weekend. The fact that Lamar, as a quarterback, didn't do that last night, that disappoints me and alarms me that has he grown to do it again in the future?
Here's what concerns me. Lamar Jackson is going to play better than he played last night. And we've seen this guy play at an MVP caliber level. But that offensive line, I'm worried that they're not going to get better. He was under pressure 55% of the time. By contrast, Derek Carr, 20%. And it was the tackles. You alluded to this, Marcus, that worries me because, one, Ronnie Stanley Jr., he's coming back from injury. He'll be better. Ali Villanueva on the other side had a rough night against Max Crosby. I don't know who comes in for them. They've got some depth on the inside, but at the tackle position, I mean, Nick Boyle's going to come back. That will help. He's a very good blocking tight end. But I don't see where the reinforcements are coming.
No doubt. Hey, y'all ever heard of an identity crisis?
Yeah.
That's what the Ravens have. And this running back depth is an issue.
Okay.
Okay, because this team is formulated one way. We all know they want to physically pound the rock. They want to use Lamar Jackson and a plethora of running backs in order to create what they like to do offensively. And it opens up the passing game.
Right.
30 passes ain't it for Lamar Jackson in this particular situation. If it's 30 passes while you're running and operating how you operate offense, we having a different conversation. They threw the ball 30 times because they had to.
Sure.
And that's the issue that I saw in this game last night. And that's why the Las Vegas Raiders were able to take advantage of that. Because the bottom line is this. They did not build this football team to drop back and protect Lamar in the pass over 30 times or 30 plus. So that to me looked like a huge issue last night.
So I realize it's just one game, RC, but there were some times where it felt like even Lamar himself or the offense as a whole a little bit timid, maybe even thinking like we got to keep Lamar healthy. Can they sustain what we saw last night or even something better for a 17 game season?
First off, I'm just so glad we finally got here.
Yay!
In my first game with the crew, so I'm excited about that.
Yes.
So now, first off, this crew is tight, right? This is not the Las Vegas Raiders offensive line. I mean, the Baltimore Ravens offensive line. So we're good. But when you look at that Baltimore Ravens offensive line, you say to yourself, it's not about the hits that Lamar Jackson will sustain outside the pocket. It's about the fact that when he's a sitting duck, when he can't move, you can't protect him. I like him running forward. I like him moving in the open field. He's hard to get down. He's hard to get a good hit on there. But when Max Crosby was rushing last night, Yannick Ngakoue early on in the game, obviously we saw Carl Nassib finish him with the fumble. Those are the things that scare me. Those are the opportunities that teams have to continue to hit Lamar Jackson where he can't do anything to them. And so we might have had to call McSteamy, McDreamy, Meredith Grey, Miranda Bailey, Christina Yang.
Grey's
Anatomy. They're going to need Grey's Anatomy if they don't find a way to protect
you. You got other names.
I think
the reality, you guys know this, is last night was a perfect storm. You got a player who thinks he is Superman because he's done it on the field in a situation where they needed him to be.
Yeah.
And that's why it was just not a good situation for Baltimore.
To that point, Lamar led all players in the entire game in rush yards and rush attempts. So he was trying to do it in a big way with his legs. Let's get to the latest news around the NFL with Jeff Darlington, starting with the Cowboys getting some key help back, Jeff.
That's right, Laura. Great news for the Cowboys getting their perennial Pro Bowl guard, Zach Martin, back in the fold. He missed the game against the Bucs due to COVID protocols. He returned to the team on Monday. Now the question, of course, is what did the Cowboys do on their offensive line? They are dealing with the suspension of Lyle Collins. This could result in some shifting. Martin kind of wants to stay at that guard spot, but they did see some really good play along the offensive line. We'll see how they address that throughout the week. Now, 49ers, we've got some bad news for them. Raheem Mostert, the running back who sustained an injury in this game against the Lions, has announced that he's going to miss the season. Brett Tesler's agent ultimately said the best decision for him was to undergo surgery. This was actually not the original plan. Kyle Shanahan had said he was going to miss about 8 weeks because of chipped cartilage in his knee. Instead, though, Mostert out for the season, so the team will look to Kerryon Johnson to add him to the practice squad. Six Saints offensive coaches test positive for COVID-19. Now, the interesting part of this is they also had one nutritionist, one player, but these guys, the coaches that is, were all vaccinated. So because of the way the protocol is, there is a chance they could return to Sunday's game if they are asymptomatic and have two negative tests within 24 hours. They could wind up being back for that Carolina game, but a little bit of an outbreak here in New Orleans. So we'll keep an eye on that to see, now that they've got increased COVID protocols throughout the week, if anybody else tests positive. positive before that game Sunday.
Yeah, Jeff, Laura? The Saints looked really good in their opening week, but you would wonder about how they would look without some of their coaching staff if they're not able to be there. All right, more to come on NFL Live. After two opposing Sunday performances against the Rams, the best answer for the Bears defense to stick with Dalton utilized Fields. You hear why someone on our crew knows Fields is ready for that next step. Plus, later on NFL Live, with the Raiders win last night, all AFC West teams came out with a W, but why our crew's not convinced the Chiefs are the clear-cut favorites this year. That's next on NFL Live. We'll be right back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
NFL Live is presented by Truist, an official retail bank of the NFL, partnering together to care for our communities. Hey, stop me if you've heard this before. The Bears should start Justin Fields. Thing is, though, don't freak out on me, everyone. Andy Dalton actually didn't play bad enough to get benched against the Rams week one. But the thing is, Matt Nagy has stood strong to his intention of starting Dalton. Here is Nagy, though, on his plans for Justin Fields going forward.
Justin a little more. I mean, you're using him, obviously you're sprinkling him in there, but maybe use him a little more for those
guys. I don't know. We'll see. You know, I think he did a good job when he was in there. I do say this, working off of what we went with yesterday and how he did, I thought he did a good job. And I said that last night in the press conference that, you know, his very first play, throwing that completion there to it was a little bit inside, but it was a good decision for him. And I like that. And that's a big moment. So he's used to those moments, and he's just got to keep doing his thing and understanding where we're at.
Everyone's having a tough time with it. You know, the one thing is, though, guys, I'm not sure that we can really expect Nagy to just give away the entire game plan. So I get it a little bit. Let's bring in Jeff Darlington first. Jeff, what more can you tell us, though, as Marcus Spears falls asleep, about Fields' playing time going forward from what you know?
Well, there's not much I can tell Marcus here to make him any happier, but I can say at least this. There are a lot of people around the league who have been operating all offseason under the belief that Andy Dalton was looking for assurances when he was looking for his new team this offseason that he would be the starter for the team that he went to. And seemingly the Bears have now fulfilled that obligation to Dalton. So the question now becomes, how much longer will he be the starter? Look, his longest pass attempt was 16 yards. He threw 5 of his 38 passes for 10 yards or more. That's not very many. There's not a very dynamic factor here in play with Dalton. This feels a lot like when Deshaun Watson was on the bench when Tom Savage came in. They were down 19 to nothing. He got pulled. Watson went in, and the rest was history. I guess that's the moment we're waiting for. But around the league, there is a pretty strong belief that it's only a matter of short time before Justin Fields is the starter.
I mean, Jeff, you did wake Marcus up, so we'll give him a moment to catch his breath. Marcy, what do you think Nagy can do to capitalize on using Fields going forward?
Why can't we have two quarterbacks? Just because it's something that people don't do doesn't mean that it can't be done and it shouldn't be done for you.
You better preach.
We could have a meeting with Andy Dalton, because Andy Dalton is an adult, right? And I can say, Andy Dalton, you were the starter, and you will be the starter this week. But eventually, Justin Fields is going to be our starting quarterback, and we need to start preparing him for that. Don't bring him in like Taysom Hill. He's not Taysom Hill. Don't bring him in to do the Wildcat. Give him actual plays where he gets to play the quarterback position in the way he will have to play as a starter, and continue to build that package for Justin Fields until you do announce that Justin Fields is the starter for the Chicago Bears.
I like that.
I need Matt Nagy to do me one favor, y'all.
Okay.
I need him to go watch the Philadelphia Eagles play against the Atlanta Falcons and then make a determination if Justin Fields should be his starting quarterback. What Sirianni did with Jalen Hurts against the Atlanta Falcons is what you have at your disposal, Matt Nagy, and you playing. Because you either promised or you guaranteed or you decided that Andy Dalton and your relationship was cool enough for you to put him in the game as the starter.
I can't even believe you're being this nice. No, because he has something better.
Yeah, so I was holding that back. He's a better thrower.
I've tried to tell him for the last 6 months. I've tried to tell Matt Nagy for the last 6 months.
I guess he didn't watch NFL Live.
But ultimately, man, like it is not rocket science, y'all. We sit on this show every day and people, you know, listen to our opinions and all of that. Just watch football. In this situation, just watch football.
I hate how they're talking about Justin Fields like he's like a baby or that he played at North Dakota State. He played at Ohio State. Right. We all watched him execute offense at the highest level. I don't even want to. We spent too much time.
All right, so let's talk about then. We have a little bit. Let's talk about a quarterback who did play a little bit more when we talk about these rookie quarterbacks instead of one who didn't play as much as we wanted to. In Mac Jones, what about Mac impressed you?
I'd say the first thing was his eyes were convicted in where he was looking. You know, so often rookie quarterbacks come in and what am I looking at with all these moving parts? Mm-hmm. He knew where to go with the football. Okay, what's the defense? Where am I supposed to go with the football? And when am I supposed to go there? And so that was really impressive. And then he made four or five big boy throws, tough throws where guys are barreling down on him. That throw to James White, the touchdown pass to Aguilar. He's got a whole shot on the sideline where those four or five. We don't see it a lot in the NFL anymore where guys kind of start to make their decision. All right, I'm about to get sawed in half. Mm-hmm. And you got to hang in there and make those tough throws. The eyes and the toughness in which he played, I was incredibly impressed with.
Yeah, and that it got better as the game went.
Yeah.
Because in the first quarter, I was a little like, watching the Dolphins, roll coverage, and him hesitate a bit, and some of their disguised blitzes. He was a little bit unnerved and rattled. Yeah. You saw that. And, you know, there was a very quarterback-friendly game plan in place. But as it went along, you saw more of those throws that Orlowski was talking about, standing in the face of pressure. The deep throw to Aguilar in the third quarter just blew me away because the linebackers come straight at him.
The whole shot?
Yeah, the whole shot. It was not only incredibly well placed, but his willingness to stand in the face of pressure was something that I didn't know for an absolute sure thing was going to happen in the NFL, quite frankly.
But to me, though, the thing is, he played the hits, right? Like, so when I go to a concert, and you're one of my favorite artists, I want you to play the songs that I know.
Absolutely.
Right? I want my ticket to be the ticket I bought to get what I bought the ticket for.
Yeah.
So you got those things from Mac Jones in week one. Now, when you start talking about the hole shot, standing in the face of pressure, placing the ball on the outside, now we're seeing some different things that we thought maybe he wasn't going to be able to do this early. And that's that progression that Mina was talking about.
I thought you used an interesting phrase when you said a quarterback-friendly game plan, because we started the segment, Justin Fields, and now we go to Mac Jones, and there's the fundamental difference between them.
Matt Nagy don't know that.
You know what I'm saying?
But go ahead.
There's the fundamental difference between them, because Matt Nagy could easily go, okay, we're going to run 6 and 7 man protection, not 5. And we're only going to run play action pass to the left and not to the right. You know, there's a fundamental difference philosophically, organizationally, and coaching staff. One is capable, and one is
six championships.
What concert are we going to?
For Matt Nagy.
We're going to Luke Combs.
I've only been to two concerts live, and they were both Justin Bieber. Continue.
Oh, and he played the hits for you.
He played the hits.
Because we'll have to pay for it. Let's go to break, and we're staying in the break. Coming up next on NFL Live, we talked about Jalen Hurts. Could he be the answer for the Eagles? Do they have control over the NFC East? We're going to answer these questions. Dan's going to show you why he likes Philly's potential with Hurts in the driver's seat. Justin Bieber, really? Our seat?
I get my peaches out of Georgia. Children.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Our week 2 Monday Night Football matchup has Jared Goff and the Lions taking on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers at Lambeau. Both teams looking for their first win, by the way. It's 8 Eastern on ESPN. ESPN Deportes and the ESPN app. ESPN2 has Monday Night Football with Peyton and Eli Manning. Our coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6 Eastern. Thanks to the way some teams drafted in April, quarterbacks and receivers who were teammates in college got reunited. So let's talk about some of those, starting with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, RC.
Hey, AJ Terrell, CJ Henderson. All y'all seen this before. It's another time that these two boys, Burrow and Chase, are balling for Jungle Cats. And it was down the sideline on Rashard Breeland. It was the post corner early on in the game for the first catch. Ja'Marr Chase, like Joe Burrow said, I thought y'all said he couldn't catch nothing.
The LSU in here today. Oh, man. Tua and Waddle. I love this reunion, Laura. And I love the way they used Waddle. Different ways, horizontally and vertically. There you saw him, the touchdown, just motioned in, had him go out into the flat. Boom. Touchdown. After that, they had him on the deep ball. It was Tua's longest completion on the night. Yeah. I believe it was about 40 yards today, rather, 40 yards. This is what Waddle should be used for. Mm-hmm. He is a threat to stretch the field both horizontally and vertically. Incredible for the Tua.
Hurts the Smith. Touchdown. Listen, this is going to be a dynamic duo, and it's really predicated on Sirianni, and I got to give him a lot of credit about how he's getting these guys open. But everybody talked about Devontae Smith and him not being able to get off the press, and he's little and all of that. You can't touch him. And when you can't touch him and he get on your level, he's going to run past you. Jalen Hurts got him one.
By the way, that touchdown was right where he scored the game-winning touchdown in the national championship just a few years ago for Alabama. That's pretty cool. For more on Jalen Hurts, let's go to Dan. They're talking about the Alabama connection, but it could be more about his time in Oklahoma, right?
Yeah, I think the Philadelphia Eagles run game on Sunday looked a lot like the Oklahoma run game from 2 years ago with Jalen Hurts. It's not only zone reads and RPOs. What they did is put them both together in one and attack the different defenders. Now, it's simple math for Jalen Hurts. 1-2-3 up top for his offense, and the defense is going to match with two guys. Well, I got three, you got two. Now, this is a very simple concept. We'll see this in high school. These guys are going to go block. Okay, you guys go block, and this guy's going to have the bubble. Now, they're going to unblock this backside defensive end. Jalen Hurts doesn't even need to read him. Because he's got that 3-over-2, he gets the opportunity to just kick out that bubble. This is a catch and throw. Now, if the defense had walked the guy down here because the offensive line is going exactly to there, Jalen would just read that defender, but he doesn't have to because the numbers advantage. You're going to kick this bubble out there. That's a zone read and an RPO in the same play. Easy first down. Now, the second thing, how can we gain a little bit of a numbers advantage if we want to run a different version of an RPO or a zone read? Well, Arcega Whiteside, you got to block that drop down corner, and we're going to pull this backside tight end as a lead blocker. Now, Jalen Hurts, our offensive line is going to go to the front side defensive end. You read that linebacker, okay, as you give that handoff. If that linebacker widens, give that ball up inside to Miles Sanders. And if he steps down, watch him come all the way around Jalen Hurts. You're going to get two lead blockers. The zone read, there it is. That linebacker steps down inside. You're shut down. You're shut down. And now I got a lead blocker with an athlete on the perimeter. Another zone read for this offense. Now let's you're going to watch Jason Kelce as the center right here, pull around and block that linebacker. He's actually going to fold back with the sweet feet and block that linebacker. You're going to get down blocked by the guard. The routes front side are a seam route and a seam route. This is, again, an RPO built in with the zone read. Jalen Hurts, you read that linebacker. It's, again, simple. If he widens, let's hand the ball off. Watch what it does. When you have an athletic quarterback that can do that, look at this linebacker. RC, look at him running that way. He's like, uh-oh, what do I do? Jalen Hurts is staring at him like, say, bud, you are completely wrong. Look at this space right now in their run game. Miles Sanders has got 8 yards of space before anyone's even remotely close to him, and it's an easy 7-8 yard gain on 2nd and 10. So Jalen Hurts 2 years ago at Oklahoma, when it comes to zone read and RPO combinations, second most yardage, third most use. Sunday, 13 times for 93 yards. Both led the league in usage and yards. The Philadelphia Eagles look a lot like Oklahoma.
Whoa, that performance has sparked a lot of hope in the Eagles' season. Some shakeups in the NFC West. Great stuff, Dan. According to our FBI, entering week one, the Cowboys had the best chance to win the division, followed by the Washington football team and Giants. After week one, the Eagles more than doubled their chance as the only winner in the division. So, man, 1 week, and look what happens. But, RC, specifically about Jalen Hurts, what did you take away from his performance? So many people doubted him. So many people said, even Eagles fans himself, saying he's not going to be able to do it. And then you saw what he put out.
This is the most competent quarterback play the Philadelphia Eagles have had in 2 years, maybe three. When you look at the total control that Jalen Hurts had over this offense, that's the reason he's there.
100%.
But the other problem I have if that's all you've ever seen from Jalen Hurts. When he's the quarterback at Alabama, everyone in that locker room followed him, and he always did the things that he needed to do for his team to win football games. It was the same exact thing at Oklahoma, and now we see it week one. And I know everybody's going to say, oh, they were playing the Atlanta Falcons. The Dirty Birds are more sad than they are dirty. But I'm going to tell you this. Everybody in that locker room gets paid money to play professional football, and Jalen Hurts was the best player on the field this weekend. And you heard what Dan said about Nick Sirianni, and that is true. If that continues, we can see a lot of success for this young quarterback.
Dan's like lurking in the shadows over there, but he's going to pop out. And
he's going to start singing at some point.
Oh, no.
Following on that, I was impressed by Hurts. I was really impressed by Nick Sirianni as well. Two things jumped out to me in this game. He went for on fourth down twice. They didn't convert either of them, but I went back and watched this morning. They were both good plays. On the first one, Hurts bailed on the pocket. He had the tight end. On the second one, it was a Gainwell run, a little bit of awkwardness in the handoff, but he had it if he had wanted it. It was at the Atlanta 20. The other thing that I'm pressing at the end of half, they had the two-minute drill. He had all his timeouts. He had managed the game correctly. They go down and score. Atlanta has the illegal formation. He got the two-point play ready. Miles Sanders, Valley. And here's what I love about that. It's not even about the model. Everyone's saying, oh, Mina, you're a nerd. You always like it when they go for it. I like it that he's aggressive and confident, and he knows what kind of team he has, which is a team with a dominant offensive line and a dominant run game. And that is a team that should be going for it and should be going for two. Think about Nick Sirianni's press conference and how much flack he got for his lack of confidence. That is not what I saw from the head coach in this game. He was confident.
Yeah, we all like it when they go for it. I don't even care what they have on their team. When you think about this division, Marcus, we talked about what FPI is looking at after week one.
Stop.
Why are you laughing? Okay.
You know why she's laughing? Because your Cowboys is getting closer, and then she know you're getting nervous.
All right, come on.
Yeah, so.
Come on, elbow.
Do you look at the NFC East any differently than you were before, after seeing what the Eagles did, after seeing what Washington did, and after seeing what your Cowboys did?
Hell no, okay?
Uh-oh.
Listen, here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. I'm a little nervous about the Eagles. I got to be honest. I got to be honest, man. Listen, I still believe the Cowboys offensively are head and shoulders above everybody, especially once they get fully healthy. Like, they played that game against Tampa. I take that into consideration. Tampa's defense is as good as it's going to get in the NFL this year, even though – and they carved this secondary up that had some injuries. I'm not oblivious to that. But up front, I was impressed with how they did without Zach Martin being in that offensive line, able to keep that clean. And then at times when Dak was pressured or hit, he stood in the pocket and his receivers uncovered and created space.
I feel a lot of hate.
Dan has entered the chat.
Wandered back in.
Let me just finish what I'm saying.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish. Yep.
Okay. But Philly, dude. It really makes me more nervous based on week one. I'm not talking, we ain't got a whole sample size of a season. Based on week one, because Sirianni is using 53 in the third. And in case nobody know what that means, that's the entire width of the field. Okay? And when I watched them play Atlanta, the bind that you're being put in with Jalen Hurts is more impressive than what I saw from Washington football team. We know it's more impressive than what
nervous.
We saw from the New York Giants.
I hear his voice is going up.
Listen, I'm admitting on this show right now.
I think the thing,
I'm nervous.
But also, too, you guys mentioning the head coach and the play calling, here's what I'll say. I was also harsh on him about the press conference because I feel like presence is an extremely huge thing. His presence on the sideline was huge. His shadow was big. His aura was an aura that made you feel like you could win. Mm-hmm. And that's important for a young quarterback.
That's what matters. I'm glad you just got to witness all this.
The Eagles have the best lines of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. They're the only team in the division that can play 11-on-11 football, and no one can match up in man coverage consistently against
them. But you had the Washington football team being the best team.
Coming up next on NFL Live, you guys can do this in the break. Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen put on a clinic on Sunday. Someone here is going to tell you why they could be the next big duo in the NFL this year. That's next on NFL Live. Man, this commercial break's gonna be wild. You are watching NFL Live, presented by Truist.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE.
That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back to NFL Live, presented by Truist.
Previously on Countdown.
Mr. Brewski, you got something to show us. I want y'all to look at these gloves coming to you fresh from me and the crew at ESPN.
Cheat like this, like, oh, I didn't get to this one. I got to get that guy the ball.
I'm going to get the quarterback. He got no business going way over there, but that's the type of player he is.
Where else would you rather be than right here?
Sunday with us, live from New York at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN.
New on NFL Live from the Denver Broncos. They say we've placed wide receiver Jerry Jeudy and cornerback Ronald Darby on IR. That means they'll miss a minimum of 3 games. With Jerry Jeudy, the high ankle sprain, you wonder how much that can affect him going down the road. So we'll keep an eye on that with the Denver Broncos. How about a little bit of the Best Coast, West Coast action, you guys? After week one, the NFC and AFC West have gone undefeated. It's the first week since the 1970 merger where multiple divisions saw all of its teams win. That's notable. This included a 20-16 defeat of Washington by the Chargers. So think of these teams out west and the Chargers. What a win for Justin Herbert's squad against the Washington football team. More specifically, their vaunted defense in week one. Washington, of course, lost Ryan Fitzpatrick during the game, but Herbert had some wow moments for the Chargers. So, Marcus, why were, though, the Chargers able to win that game against Washington? You think about that D-line that we've talked about so much.
No doubt. The pressure, obviously, and knocking Fitzpatrick out. But even in our discussion before the show, I thought about something, y'all, that made me really happy. The Chargers finished.
It's been a long time coming, right?
Think about it. Like last year, bro, this team lost six or seven games in the fourth quarter. Ooh. And in that particular situation against Washington football team, they normally give that away. And they tried to, but the defense stood up and did their thing. Look, Derwin James changes the dynamic of this team because how physical he is down in the box, how he can cover, and the mentality that he brings to the football team. And Joey Bosa, like you got premier guys. On every level of this defense. One thing I was impressed with, too, and I don't know if it stood out to y'all, correct me if I'm wrong, the speed of this defense, like the team speed of this defense, how quick they close, how well they tackled, and what they should be very happy about is that this is in the same image of their head coach.
Looks like
they played to the image of their head coach. Absolutely.
Right, and that makes sense.
But that's the huge thing. When you mentioned Derwin James, think about the way that Jalen Ramsey is able to play now. This wasn't the Jalen Ramsey that got to play in Jacksonville. They set him out on the corner. They didn't let him play inside. Derwin James is that type of talent. I sit around all camp and watch the Chargers social media because I know Derwin James is going to do stupid stuff, right? Like, I know at some point in practice it's going to be one-on-ones. Keenan Allen's going to be killing everybody with stems and sticks and head nods and all kind of stuff. And then Derwin James is going to be off doing something like backflips, and then he's going to walk in and be like, hey, Key, I need to run that.
Yep.
Then he's going to shut him down, right? Remember, Derwin James as a rookie was an all-pro. And then you have Joey Bosa, who's also an alien. And when you start to get, like, that's my thing. Like, I was just like a regular guy who played football really hard and studied a lot.
Some of these dudes
are aliens.
They're different,
right?
And when
you have that type of guy on the front level, in the back end, and then you have a guy like Murray who is fast and can go sideline to sideline in the middle of the field, this defense can be really good.
You know, on the offensive side, though, Dan, you think that Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen are building something really, really special.
I think Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen were the best combo on Sunday when it comes to quarterback. Wide receiver. I think they're the best in the NFL right now. And Keenan Allen had the greatest day I've ever seen when it comes to smarts, when it comes to route running. They start him outside in man coverage. Guys, watch this route. It's so filthy. And they kick the coverage, right? St. Juice goes outside and then Fuller stays inside. Now, Keenan Allen as a tailback is really running an angle route. I want you guys just to watch the effort. This beat. Now, put my foot in the ground. I won. DB goes over the top. You guys are trailing underneath. Keenan's like, I don't need to waste any more time. Cross face, that guy's got to cut through traffic. Boom. This next one on 3rd and 17 is absolutely filthy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? The concept is really like 5 dice. Now, Keenan in the slot is really supposed to sit at about 14 yards in the middle of the hashes. Now, RC, you notice that backside safety, 26, is pushing in quarters. He's got vision on Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen's like, I'm looking at you too, bro. Now, instead of sitting in the hashes, I'm going to candy cane right at the top. Right inside the outside hash, and Justin Herbert sees it the same way. Instead of running all the way to Landon Collins, he hooks up. Like, you guys often hear the phrase in football, man, quarterback and receiver seeing things the same way or on the same.
That's what it looks like. Yeah. So
you know, they're on the same. Voice on the same page, and I think that those two guys showing that quickly this year, they're going to be the best combo in the NFL when it comes to quarterback and wide receiver.
The heat from that take. I'll throw in something else.
On the offense,
I was impressed by the offensive line, and that was a big question for me coming into this game because all offseason we've been talking about, did they fix it with the additions in the draft and free agency? And this is, of course, the ultimate test, is Washington. And they passed. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but he was pressured. But Justin Herbert was pressured, but he was only pressured on 16% of his dropbacks, fourth best in the NFL, half of where they were last year. And Washington blitzed a fair amount, which actually surprised me because I thought
you with this too? A ton of
third downs. I thought Washington would come into this and say, hey, we are better than your offensive line, our front four. We know how deadly they are. We can get pressure. But they actually brought some heat, and the Chargers held up well. The rookie, Rashawn Slater, they picked right.
Lombardi did a good job too. He moved Justin. Not much. He just slid him a little bit away from Chase at times. Like, it was – listen, this team is close.
Yeah, well, for all the people out there that might have doubted Justin Herbert a little bit coming out of college, I was actually in that category. His 427 completions in his first 16 starts are the most in NFL history. Yeah. So there's a lot more to come
from him,
right?
He has got an arm that you just should not be able to make some throws on. And now Joe Lombardi's using Keenan Allen like the Saints have used Michael Thomas.
Right.
And Keenan Allen's probably a little bit more savvy as a route runner. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jared Cook has been in a tremendous pickup
that was
for them.
Huge.
Mike Williams is dominant. So you got an offensive line that you talked about that is significantly better. Pieces on the outside.
Speed guy and Guyton, yeah.
The defensive talent is spectacular.
All right, we got to get to the NFC West. We got to take a little commercial break before that. So still to come, we're talking about the NFC West. They're all 1-0. I know, it's so hard to stop. They're all 1-0 after week one. Who's going to come out on top of this insanely competitive division? There's no clear favorites, so we're going to tell you what we think. That and more next on NFL Live. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
NFL Live is presented by Truist, an official retail bank of the NFL, partnering together to care for our communities. And in part by Why the Last Man, now streaming exclusively FX on Hulu. New on NFL Live, this tweet just in from Field Yates. The Saints have now placed wide receiver Michael Thomas on the reserve COVID-19 list. They had said there was one player who had tested positive amongst seven or eight coaches who had tested positive. Now we know that that player is Michael Thomas. So it doesn't really affect him. Of course, he's on the PUP list as well. Let's get to a little more information here on NFL Live. We pretty much all agree here that the NFC West is the best division in football, at least for now, which was further proof week one. Dan, which team in that division stood out to you?
Yeah, the Los Angeles Rams. I think that Sean McVay realized, man, my offense, I've got the ability to be incredibly explosive, both because we've got some speed on the outside, but as a play caller, I know how to attack it. I just need a quarterback that when I open it up, you got to hit it. And that's exactly what Matthew Stafford brings to this offense. Also, the element that I can do something when it's not there. So the Rams offense got a chance to be as explosive as anybody in the NFL.
San Francisco obviously came out, put points on the board. Kyle Shanahan with this offense using Jimmy G and Trey Lance. But you got to finish games, man.
Okay.
You cannot allow the Detroit Lions to do that and make the self-inflicted wounds that they had throughout this game. We're about to talk about this division. Don't do this in the division, San Francisco. You will get ran out of the stadium.
The fighting Jared Goff.
So Seattle was impressive to me on both sides of the ball. On offense, it's like they looked around the rest of the division and said, yeah, we like some of that Shanahan stuff. They hired Shane Waldron, a little more window dressing on offense. On defense, don't sleep on this defensive line. They are sneaky deep, and they showed it against the Colts. A real-life pass rush in Seattle, guys. I saw it.
And look, I'm about Kyler Murray. If you were one of those people that thought Kyler Murray should have got the MVP the first week of last season after San Francisco, you're definitely giving it to him now. Listen, this Titans offensive line, defensive line was trying to chase him around like chasing Junior Healy on Problem Child. There was nothing that you could do with it. He made every single throw he needed to make. He also played from the pocket. He made quick reads, accurate throws, and when he got outside the pocket, there was nothing that you could do with him and get him to the ground. Kyler Murray, big week.
Man, you know, if you think about the Cardinals in general, right, it was Kyler Murray's electric performance. Also, you had Chandler Jones with 5 sacks on the other side of the ball. They look like a team
we're gonna
to
pay
be reckoned
him,
with in that
are we
division.
Gonna pay, are we going to pay Chandler Jones?
They should have already been paying him, but after that, it's between, like, we'll pay him.
Let me see.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. Steve Keim won't pay him. Dana White won't pay his brother.
What's up with that?
They ain't got no money in the Jones household.
Dan, what impressed you most about the Cardinals?
Well, I think, first of all, Kyler, while he had splash plays, it wasn't the best performance for me when it came to that. I thought him is kind of putting his foot in the ground and making some, I mean, this is certainly a splash play. This
Here,
right
Junior
here.
Bananas.
Yeah. You know, that splash play is absolutely spectacular, but there's a handful of times when he puts his foot in the ground and gets the ball out on time. And the big thing for me in comparison to last year was Kyler going to, I continue, put my foot in the ground and drive the ball instead of fading back and making some of those throws when they're not necessary. And that was the big thing, is there was 4 or 5 times where you go, man, 1, 2, 3, ball out, and he drove the football.
Who are you? Who are you?
What?
Like, your homeboy is playing in Los Angeles now.
Yeah.
In that
That's
same
division.
That's
how you division, know he means it.
In
That's
that
how
same
you know
division,
he's passionate.
And you're going to come on here, Kyler?
I love it.
Well,
right?
He'll still have a chance to talk about the Rams. Don't worry. How would you rank the NFC West? If you had to rank them top
The Rams
to
number one.
Okay.
The Rams number one.
My guy.
And I know all the people around here going to be like, oh, it's such a tough division. And then Mina's going to come on. Well, Seattle has Russell Wilson. And did you see Sierra's? Did you see Sierra's outfit at the Met Gala with the Super Bowl ring? Don't nobody care about none of that. Sean McVay went out and he made a decision. He said, I know I'm the man. I know defensively that we can stop whoever we need to. I just need a dude who can do what I need him to do on the football field. And he went out and he got Matthew Stafford. And we saw some of those things. But the most impressive thing to me was when Matthew Stafford had to do it on his own, he could do that too.
Yeah.
Sean McVay has not had that in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And so where you got Aaron Donald, he's going to dominate. Jalen Ramsey, he's going to dominate. Finally, we can see Matthew Stafford at his best. We can see Matthew Stafford with a glow up. Do you know what they always say? Find you a spouse that makes you better. Yeah. If I can't be with you and be my best self, then you ain't for me.
I don't need to be with you.
Detroit wasn't it.
I need to write that
behind
down.
Behind every great quarterback is a great coach.
Brian, it hurts me. You think I'm a homer just because I got 48 on my arm. I got the Rams number one too, man.
Guns out, Nina.
It's hard to pick between these teams, and I have a feeling our rankings are going to change like on a week-to-week basis because they are all very good.
Yeah.
I go Rams, Seattle. This is a switch for me. Now I got Arizona over San Francisco.
Wow.
The Jason Red injury and the Mostert injuries really, really hurt.
That's
because
real.
The margin for error in this division is so small. But it is close. It is very close.
I got Rams with the Cardinals, and it is not that far off.
Wow.
And listen.
So I was right, though. Rams.
Over Seattle?
You got the Rams?
Yeah. The Rams. I still got the Rams one, right? Like, I'm going to trust Matthew Stafford with his experience a little bit more. But listen, Vance Joseph, yo.
Yeah.
Like, we could talk about these quarterbacks, and we could get with these. We could talk about
Archbishop Shaw High School.
Yes, sir. You already know Louisiana. That's why I'm talking about him. Chandler Jones, forget the 5 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Chandler Jones was already a sack master.
Right.
He was already a real good run defender on the edge. J.J. Watt has changed the entire time.
I thought J.J. Watt played just as good.
Listen, y'all, I'm telling you, I understand what the Rams did offensively. I know what Russ is. You are not going to block these dudes for 4 quarters.
Yeah.
You're not going to do it.
Okay. No one's buying the
49ers.
I didn't want to defend Seattle, but now you put me in a position where I have to. I still have the Rams number one, important caveat. However, while I was really impressed by the Cardinals offense, that Titans defense is not good. And Seattle did it against a Colts defense that actually are pretty good. And I have faith in their ability to execute all season long against tougher opponents because they have consistently done that.
Dan, 49ers, nobody wants to put them above
them. I was least impressed with them over the weekend. I think the takeaway is all three of those teams, the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Cardinals, I could sit here after week one and go, they could go make a legit run.
Legit run.
Yeah.
And I think the thing for me is Arizona and Seattle answered questions.
So here's my question for you. With Arizona, though, Arizona started like wildfire last year, and offensively they were good.
Yes.
It seems that Kingsbury did some different things.
Correct.
What are his adjustments as the season goes on?
And that was against a defense that they were definitely overmatched too. I mean, they're the Titans defense.
Can Cliff be different down the stretch?
I saw at least three different pass concepts in that game that they did not have last year. And that was a big conversation of ours. They got to build pass concepts in the NFL.
You talk about the maturation, right? And you look at Kyler Murray. The zero blitz that he threw the touchdown to Christian Kirk, he didn't do that last year.
And then
recognizing cover one with D-Hop, and D-Hop spinned out and ended up in the end zone.
And Isaiah Simmons.
And Isaiah, dude, I'm telling you, like, we talked about it before the season. If this talent on defense, this could be the top defense in the league.
It's if
the
funny talent because answers if the you bit. Look at your screen, FPI does not agree with you. They got the Cardinals with the least amount of chance to win the division. All right, guys, we'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Thanks for joining us here.
RC, Tuesday!
All about the Rams.